What is up? Good evening. It's Tuesday night, January 29th. What, almost February. Welcome to episode 60 of Inside the Game. I'm DJ Wee, joined as always by EG the Muslim, EG Idra, and EG in Control. Fellas, hello, good day, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good, man.
Pretty good.
I won't lie, it's starting to get a little cold. You know what happens when it gets cold? The weather changes a lot. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
Start having, like, you know, sinus issues. Like, my joints get achy and shit. It's no good. But we'll have a full report later on this evening.
So. Cold. I mean, Nebraska gets really cold, right?
It does. Like, it does. It gets very cold. And we'll have a full weather report coming up later on tonight. Guys, welcome to tonight's program. The Muslim, how you been?
Hey, pretty good. I'm over in England, so it's pretty late, and it's already very cold over here.
Yeah,
doing well.
We're commenting that the Muslim's basically fucked with his webcam coming on, because you could tell that Idra and In Control are obviously in daylight at this very moment. Well, the Muslim, obviously, it's nearly...
Yeah, I'm like the Willy Wonka blueberry girl right now. So my skin's kind of funny colored.
Oh, that's good. Idra, how's it going, man?
Pretty good.
A lot of hots?
Yeah, quite a bit.
Good stuff. Anything else exciting this week?
Can we, let's get this out of the way, too, real quick, everybody. Ready?
Sure.
It's inside the EG. All right. I'm all upset about it. That's it. Now we can move on, right?
No. I'm gonna put a little logo up there.
Okay.
There we go. Take your tags off officially. It'll be good stuff. How you doing, Jeff?
So, a lot of people have heard that I had a blood clot, a DVT in my left leg. So I'm in a lot of pain still. But when I don't move around that much, I mean, it's kind of ironic. It's like the more I don't move around, the better I feel. But then the closer to death I get. So some kind of Greek punishment going on here. But I'm on pain meds. And when my blood thins out, it'll be fine. And then I'll live the rest of my life normally, except that if someone hits me in the head, they could kill me. So I might wear a helmet at MLG or something like that.
Like a protective helmet that people sign and stuff.
You
know, we were actually talking about this as we were putting together the show notes for the day, which is basically us just sending off a few emails, like, let's be totally real. And you know, you were saying, like, you wanted to at least chat about this for it to be a PSA to gamers, and I mean I'd love to hear more, but first and foremost, I just have to ask, like, was it just a pain that you had in your leg when you were sitting down that just got gradually worse? Like, you know, I mean, I've sat at my computer long enough where my legs fall asleep and I feel like I can't walk for, you know, a day. But can you explain, like, the pain,
what?
I guess?
Yeah, the pain. Do you want me to just tell the whole story real quick?
Yeah, please do. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure some people don't even have a fucking clue what's going on. So.
But I've learned a lot about this subject as of late because obviously that's what they kind of – that's what you do when you have an ailment.
Educate
they teach you about it.
Please.
A few days ago – well, okay, this happened on Saturday, but 2 days before that I was having some pain in my leg, which is not that big of a deal because I've injured my sciatic nerve. I've injured my legs a few times just like kind of lifting weights and – so, you know, I get thrown off balance or whatever and you know, like a muscle gets bruised or whatever. Just not a big deal. So I just kind of walked it off for a few days. But then one morning I woke up Saturday and I was in just writhing pain. So the best way to describe it is like if you took a wire and you wrapped it around the leg and then on both ends someone was pulling on the wire. So you can feel it. Actually, my leg got so tight and swollen that you could see the rivulets in my leg where like tendons or veins were going across muscles were being pushed out to the skin and it was so swollen that I couldn't really bend it. It hurt. There was a lump behind my knee that I was pretty sure was like a, I was hoping it wasn't like a tendon or an, you know, I don't know which one it is. It's behind the knee, the MCL or ACL or whatever. But one of those, like maybe I did some kind of damage to that. So we ended up going to the ER they take me back there, and they're like, well, we're going to run a battery test. You probably just hurt yourself lifting weights. And I shit you not, the way they put it is they're like, I mean, worst case scenario, you got a blood clot. And I was like, okay, well, whatever. And they're like, yeah,
Jesus Christ.
We'll do an ultrasound just to make sure, but you probably just dinged up in the gym. And I'm like, all right, that's good news. So I'm feeling good. I'm sitting in the bed. You know, I'm kind of embarrassed because they've got my shirt off, and they put that gown on you, and you're strapped up to 10 machines. But then they wheel me back, and the doctor comes in, and she's like, so you got a blood clot? And I was like, oh, well, fuck you, seriously. And they're like, yeah. And they're like, it's pretty bad. It's life-threatening, and, you know, you're going to – the next 6 months of your life are going to change, and maybe the rest of your life. Like, they don't really – they don't soften the blow. They just kind of go, yeah, you're fucked. Here's what we're going to do. But I was like, okay. And then, you know, for the next few days, I'm just in pain. I'm on this painkiller called Tramadol, which is not that heavy hitting. I actually took a Vicodin at the hospital, and I didn't feel a thing. When I say I didn't feel a thing, I don't mean it worked. I meant it didn't affect me at all. The pain didn't go anywhere. I wasn't loopy. So it was kind of scary because I was worried that I'd have to be on morphine for a while, but I'm not. I'm just on this light painkiller, and I have to take a Lovenox shot twice a day for the next probably about a week. And that's a blood thinner that makes sure that the clot doesn't dislodge and go to my lungs, which is where it becomes a pulmonary embolism, or PE, which is where I can die. Well, less likely die, but it becomes more complicated. So I'll be on, you know, the next 6 months, I'll be getting my INR tested, which is the thickness of your blood, and they'll be checking you out. But the important part about this to tell everybody else is basically the way this happens is there's a few causing factors. There's hereditary. Diet has a big play in it, obviously, and then like how stagnant you are. For me, my mom actually had a lot of blood clots that almost killed her after she was misdiagnosed by two different doctors on two different antidepressants that formed into like a super you're gonna get fucked situation, and she almost died. But I guess it was also because she was predisposed to blood clots, so that kind of runs in my family. But then also, you know, when we sit down and we stream and we play StarCraft, that can be anywhere between 3 or 6 or 8 hours, sometimes 10 if you get really rambunctious. And in that time, most of the time you're getting up to get water or food or use the bathroom, but sometimes you're not. Sometimes 3 or 4 hours will pass, and I think that happened to me a few too many times. And, you know, blood clots are not on my radar. It was not something I ever thought of in my entire life. But after this... I mean, if you watch my stream, I'm getting up every hour and I'm just walking around, even though it hurts a lot. That'll probably be what I do for the rest of my life.
Have you had any issues leading up to this? And you said that you kind of wanted to make a PSA. Like, are you advising people like that this is something that you should do just to avoid anything like this?
Yeah, oh yeah. I mean, the very bottom line is... I had nothing going into this. I haven't been to a doctor since I was 3 or 4 years old. Every time I get a physical, they talk about how I'm kind of like I'm remarkably fit for my size and healthy. I don't have any issues at all, nothing at all. So this kind of caught me completely off guard. And I guess the PSA aspect of this and the bottom line is that if I'm speaking to an audience that presumably is very gamer heavy, just make absolutely sure. Cause there's a lot of people that are like, you need to do more cardio. You shouldn't lift out your arms so much. And it's like, whoa, that's actually not the case at all. It's like not the issue. You could be a marathon runner and sit down for a plane ride and get a blood clot. Like that's just the way it works. So in fact, they're more common amongst athletes for one reason or another. I don't quite understand the science behind that, but, the very bottom line is just make absolute sure that 3 hours does not go by without you moving around. The safe side is an hour. At least make it 2 hours, but do not go 3 hours with just sitting in one position because it's really dangerous.
I mean, not really related too much, but sort of. And recently, I've just changed out my chair, right?
Yeah.
And it was kind of interesting shopping for a new chair because as I was going through them, I found out that they actually classify chairs based off of the amount of time that you spend in them. Hmm. And I was shocked to learn that there's not a classification for my, like, what I need. And with this all going down, like, it is scary because, like, consciously, I will just do that. like spend 3 hours sitting on my ass at the computer. Like, yeah. You know, where did it go? I was playing a game. I was caught up in emails, working on whatever. So I guess more than anything, like awareness, but yeah, it's finding a chair that is adequate for more than 5 to 8 hours a day is actually impossible unless you get something custom made. Today I learned, I did not know that. So the Muslim,
mm-hmm.
get up.
Like as soon as I heard that it was a blood clot and stuff, I was already like paranoid about it. I get paranoid about anything like that. And, yeah, I mean, it's bad that it happened to Jeff, obviously, but it's good that it happened to somebody brave enough to come out and say, like, hey, like, as a spokesperson, you guys should move around a little bit more, because obviously it's pretty dangerous stuff.
Yeah, that's the silver lining, is if it could happen to somebody. I mean, actually, there's a really... This kills about 300,000 people a year, and I guess the vast majority of those people have no idea it's going on. There's no pain. There's nothing. Just one day... Boom, you get a PE, goes to your lungs, and you're having severe complications that you think might be like a minor heart attack or something like that, and then it ends up killing you. But for me, the pain was so persistent that it was very clear that something was wrong. And I'm a guy that, like, when I get a headache, I don't take ibuprofen or Tylenol. I just deal with it. When I broke my fingers in football, I let them self-heal. Like, I literally never went to
you
the fucking
doctor. You
put
them to the sunlight, and you're like, I'm like the fucking swamp thing. Self-heal.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. I forgot he did that.
Yeah, his arm,
I mean, like,
gets chopped off and like, fucking love that.
But for
movie.
Me, like, the choice is taken from me, and I'm lucky. I'm very fortunate that was the case, because for a lot of people, it's kind of a silent killer. So that's the good side. But then the other good side is, like Ben said, I get to tell people about this, and I mean, it was all over Reddit, and people were like, as I'm reading this, my legs are tingling. Like, I don't want to put the fear in you, the paranoia, because I've seriously been playing StarCraft like this for 13 years. I've been taking flights to Sweden and Europe back and forth, and I'm not really a guy that gets up. So it's not like it's like you hit the 3 hour mark and you go, no, and the blood clot forms and you're gone. It's just that it's just important to have it on your mind and be careful, because we're all participating in that could happen. And
right on. Idra, as a certified, doctor and physical therapist, do you have any final words that you want to say on this subject?
I don't know, it's actually pretty scary, because I've always been like super lucky about health stuff. I just played ridiculous amounts of Korean. I've been doing this for like 6-7 years now, and I've never paid any attention to any kind of repetitive stress, like the more minor stuff that you would expect to come with this, and I've never had any problems with it. So I don't like give a second thought to my health at all. If I don't have to get up to go to the bathroom or take a drink or something, I don't get up. So it's actually pretty scary that this happened.
So it is like again, like kind of awareness, like
definitely a wake up call kind of thing.
All right. We'll take it for what it's worth. Jeff, of course, we're happy that you're doing good, and you'll have to keep us updated. Let's move on. So I think it's over now, but just moments ago, actually, JP, who does a little series called Real Talk, I'm pretty sure like almost everyone on this show has appeared on it. The Muslim, have you been on Real Talk?
No, unfortunately, he left me out.
Fuck, how'd you get a hosting position on this show, man?
Except for the Muslim.
God
damn it.
Snoopy was on, and Snoopy, League of Legends player, formerly of CLG EU, now of EG, and had of course the same sort of Real Talk questions thrown at him from, you know, where'd you grow up, what'd you play as a game, and then of course most recently discussions about joining Evil Geniuses. Wasn't at all surprised about his, his answers. I think they all made perfect sense. And quite frankly, when the whole thing rolled around and I had heard that EG was going for a League of Legends team in the first place, the team that popped in my head first was CLG EU, just because I think the personality kind of fit. But here it is, out in the open, done. We talked about obviously the announcement getting sort of thwarted. That's out of the way. We're not going to talk about this. But then the actual announcement comes out. This is how we game, right? This is how we game.com, where you can kind of see the announcement that was kind of folded into Evil Geniuses as a team. And so, no doubt, of the commanding esports in the space, you've got StarCraft II, you've got Dota 2, you've got League of Legends, and EG, who was at one point a team, that even the management said, I don't think there's ever going to be a League of Legends team on EG now has a League of Legends team and a prominent one. Not like here are five guys that we're presenting as a team, but a well-respected, winning team. This is an opportunity where I'm actually kind of happy this is the Inside the EG show, because I get a chance to ask you guys these types of questions and what this is. You know, I want to know what it means to you guys now to have the trifecta. I know in Vegas, you had Snoopy there, a couple of Dota guys, Damon was there. I mean, I'd like to hear what you guys think about now having a League of Legends team and Snoopy and CLGEU now that it's out of the bag.
It's a great thing. I knew Alex was talking to them for quite a while, but until it actually became a reality and we met Snoopy in Vegas to do the video, I didn't really look into it at all. But like, I know they're the team that went to play in the Korean, like the league equivalent of Pro League. I don't know what it was actually called. And get second in like 2-3 to one, like losing to a Korean team in the finals. And going over to Korea, you know, that's something I can relate to, that's something I can respect. And just, they're one of the best teams, arguably the best team from what I've read. Obviously, I don't know much about the league community, but a very, very respectable team in every way. And he's just a great guy who was a lot of fun to hang out with. And they seem like they actually have personalities. They fit into Evil Geniuses perfectly. They're both competitive, and they're marketable people. Like, they just work well with the team. I don't think we could have made a better choice if we wanted to get into that community.
Yeah, I think, I don't know, I agree everything Greg said, so I'll just go ahead and take a different angle about it too. Like,
please do.
I think from the business side, League of Legends is inescapably a boon to every organization. You saw a couple teams that closed their doors, but their like last ditch effort, like their final stretch for life, was towards a League of Legends team, because the numbers are inescapable. They're just doing phenomenal. They're the most watched game on the planet. It's the way it is. And I think what's really cool about CLG is that they're the perfect hybrid for EG, in the sense that they're a winning team. They have personalities, but on some level, I think it's really important too that they're foreigner. And I kind of want to bring that up, because it's, you know, the game is definitely like a Chinese / Korean dominated game, that they're the ones that are closing out and winning tournaments. But outside of them, there's very few foreigner teams that are kind of holding their own. But I think that's a really cool aspect that Western teams try to aim for. They try to go for those teams that are still foreigner but winning. Like, that's the perfect balance. Well, that's close to the perfect balance as far as I'm concerned. So I think in those ways, it's like the perfect fit. But I'm excited about it. We got to hang out with Snoopy. He's a cool guy. He's definitely like he has that leader quality to him. He has that leader aspect to him. So you really kind of just naturally respect him when you meet him, even if you don't know shit about him, because he just kind of carries that aura. So he just kind of fits right in, really happy about it. And I guess I have to address this, because this is brought up a lot, both in the League of Legends community, and I've been looking for platforms to talk about this, and certainly the sub forum on Team Liquid for League of Legends is not it. I felt like I walked into like a New York Giants bar and said like, "Go fucking Jets!" And I was like, "Oh shit!" Like, these guys chasing me out pretty quick. But in general, the hate that Greg and I gave League of Legends is a little bit hearsay. I make fun of, like, my first point would be, I actually make fun of Blizzard / StarCraft 2 more than anything else in the entire world.
That's a fact.
I absolutely do.
That is a fact.
I'll speak for Greg a little bit. If you don't know how critical Greg is of StarCraft, then you don't know who Greg is. So it's a little bit weird that people would pick and choose like when that becomes critical and real, and when that becomes fake and just kind of something we're doing for fun, I suppose. The second thing I would say is that in the last year, most of my rhetoric has actually been esports in general is growing. We need to unify each other and work together to raise up the bar as a one, so that gaming can be a profession that people can look forward to and really count on. And I think that's really cool. And I included League of Legends with that. And then number three, most of the people from League of Legends are like 13 or 14 years old, and they go to middle school anyway, so I don't think I need to worry too much about upsetting them. Right?
Oh, God. All the League of Legends players right now.
Okay. Okay. Come on.
One day they're going to understand your humor, Jeff. Your humor.
No, they don't have to understand. They just, I mean, the basic bottom line is like, come on. If you can find a quote from me where I'm like, League of Legends is shit, I hate it, then I want you to bring it forward, and I want you to use it against me. But most of the time, what you're going to find is me saying that the game is more casual than StarCraft II, and that it is easier to play than StarCraft II. If you disagree with me on that, and you think that that's me saying it's a bad thing, then you're wrong, because it's not a bad thing. It's made for the most profitable and watched game on the planet Earth. Why is that a bad
thing? Will, you know, not necessarily because you guys have, say, Justin Wong, who's an amazing Street Fighter player and fighting game player, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you guys are jumping on fighting games in order to play it. But, you know, certainly it's a level that you guys understand. Now, with the League of Legends team, and a League of Legends team that's, you know, capable of doing some damage in Season 3, do you find yourselves taking any more of an interest in the game as a result of this acquisition?
Actually, yeah, to piggyback on what Jeff said, you know, in the past I did say it was a casual game, and after talking to Snoopy and actually playing it a couple... What?
What? No, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
No.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I can hear Greg, I can't hear Jeff.
I can hear Jeff.
Oh, it was me then. What the fuck just happened? Anyways, I can hear you, go ahead.
Oh, okay. But yeah, after talking to Snoopy about the game a bit, and just about competitiveness in general, and... particularly about League versus Dota, and then all of that versus StarCraft 2. I do think it is still, like, less mechanically challenging. There's just not as much going on that you can be good at, but there's also a lot more complexity in other ways, and I've played it a bit since then, and it's definitely a fun game. And, like, since League became relevant within esports, I think all of us have always said that Riot is what Blizzard should aspire to do. They're doing all these things that Blizzard is now kind of half-assedly doing in Heart of the Swarm, and just they do it so much better, and if we had them, our esports scene would be way better. So I've always held them in a lot of respect in that way, and we've always said that publicly. I just kind of wanted to add that on to what Jeff was saying to kind of defend ourselves against them. What was the question?
Overall, it was just following, you know, will you have a more vested interest in the game itself because you got EG has made this acquisition?
Oh, certainly. Like I said, I've even played a few games since meeting him.
And again, for a lot of you guys, well, not necessarily again, but kind of it comes off like Greg and I are being very defensive, and I understand that out of context it's very well true. But to be honest with you, like, DG Wheat asked the question, did our interest in LoL peak when we acquired a team? Yes. So I've been, like, checking LoL Reddit and, you know, watching some matches and stuff like that, and every single effing time, they're like, CLG went to EG, that's pretty cool. Idrin and Control that fucking hates LoL. He hates it. And I read it every time, and I'm just like, Jesus Christ. Like, I must have hit a nerve with one of the things I said, because I was not, like, on street corners holding up books like, have I sold you the book of StarCraft 2? Like, step away from the League of Legends. Get away from the... I didn't do that. Like, I wasn't that passionate about it. And a couple of shows, I made jokes. So that's why I come off as defensive. But after this, you won't hear back from me. I'm just going to put it out there. I don't hate League of Legends. I made fun of it, just like I made fun of everything else. You can take it or leave it.
It's kind of funny how far spread it was. Like, even in that article that Slasher put out, the article was zero sourcing and zero credible, you know, information at all. It fucking said that Snoopy said he had reservations about joining EG because of our comments about League. And I didn't ask him about it. I don't know if that's true at all. That could be a Slasher pulling shit out of his ass. But, I mean,
what
to have that come up in
an
article about
it, like, the high five and stuff, when you guys did that. It's like, whatever you guys would do, it's just going to...
That was kind of LoL-related, too.
That, the funny thing was, is that had nothing to do with the game itself and everything to do with the person who instigated that whole fucking thing. So, like, let's not even talk about that. DeMuslim, I want to know, will you take more of an interest in... And League of Legends, now that you guys have picked up, a credible League of Legends.
Yeah,
team.
I mean, any EG squad that's competing in any game, I always have more of a vested interest. It's like, say if you're just watching two random teams play, like, I could be watching absolutely anything, be it football, baseball, whatever. I'm not really that vested. But as soon as there is something in it, be it money or a team that I support and stuff, and that team being EG, I'm going to support them a lot more. I really like the fact that we have another Brit on the team who happens to speak really, really cool. That being Snoopy. I also...
He's a Brit as long as he wins. When he loses, he becomes Scottish, right?
Yes, it's going to be awesome.
He's sensitive about that, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
But I'm really happy that one of the flagship teams in esports has got pretty much every major title now. And, I mean, division in the communities is going to happen, but I don't, like, want war amongst the communities. I think that's really bad. Like, if I'm a football fan, I don't ridicule the rugby fans and stuff. I just let them have their own thing. And if every one of these, like, three divisions can move forward in, like, a really positive way, then that's really awesome.
Great. Any final comments on the team join? Again, I just say congratulations because I think it's great. I don't think that you can really put together like an Ace League team at this point and break into the current level of competition. So it seemed like the timing was right, but I don't know. And we'll see if people bitch when we have Inside the EG League Edition that's just got, you know, fucking Scumbag Crepo, Snoopy, and Froggen in it. And then we'll see. If you fucking bitch. Bitches. All right.
Bitches.
Let's talk about the HOTS updates. Because you know what? As Jeff mentioned earlier, one thing that we love to do on this show is we love to bitch and moan about Blizzard, yeah. About StarCraft II.
And everything.
I mean, you know, there have been, like, a couple of things that we've just said time and time again while pulling our hair out. Like, my fucking God. If these things were available... Like the you know, the utopia that we could create with virtual zeros and ones would be amazing. Well, two of these things have kind of made it in. One of them is the replay with friends. Like, finally, something that was available back in the Brood War era is now available. Cheers.
Easy clap right there. Easy clap.
Yeah. Like, do you guys know, like, you just go to it. In fact, I should just load this motherfucker up just to show you how easy it is. It's amazing. I mean, you guys had it back in Brood War. It was a staple part of training, getting better, sharing strategies, right? I mean, this is a big fucking deal in relation
to
that.
We didn't know it was a luxury back then. It made sense. It's like, hey, look at this replay. And you just join it with them and...
Well, they removed that for Warcraft 3 as well. Like, it wasn't an addition that carried on to Warcraft 3. And when I heard about that, I was like, wow, that's actually a pretty good idea. I wonder why they ever removed that.
Yeah.
Technology is so expensive to maintain.
Yeah, I mean, the basic bottom line is there's not going to be... You know what? This is one of those things where there's not somebody standing somewhere out there that goes, I'm going to say it. I don't like the change. I liked my privacy in replays. I don't like it. And I have the pressure of like, oh, let me check my friends list to see what replay I'm going to watch. Oh, I don't have any friends. Better go kill myself. Like, there's nobody out there that's saying that. So universally, it's good. And then, of course, we have to stick in our little like, Blizzard, why'd you take so long? But okay, it's here. So I'm not that interested in that part of it either. Like, Blizzard moves on Blizzard time and it's here. So we're happy. This changes coaching. I know that that's a subject that's kind of fallen by the wayside, but it's a really big deal. In the past, we used to have to be, all right, on three, start the replay. One, two, three. And then, like, the computers are different anyways.
Yeah, exactly.
So that screws it up.
Total
this changes casting. Our online league that is based off of replays, like, a lot of times my co-commentator and I would have desync issues where his is, like, 15 seconds ahead, and there's that embarrassing league where, you know, people don't recognize that that's going on. So one guy's like... Oh my god, the Hellions fried all the drones, and then like 10 seconds later it happens, and that becomes the only thing that people are talking about in the stream chat, so it's really good for casting. And then it's really good for recreational uses. Just being able to say, hey dude, check this out, I beat so-and-so, come watch this replay, or like, hey, let me show you a strategy I was thinking about. And then of course, it helps with training, being able to pull people into replays and watch them together, that's a very big deal. Of course, in this day and age where a lot of the more serious teams are, you know, in Korea playing in a team house or abroad playing in a team house, a little bit less of an issue, but for the whole scene, it's a good change.
So, I mean, and you brought up like one like crucial thing, and let's see if I can actually invite to game. Okay. Just like, right. So I actually brought it up, and you know, it's so funny because how many seasons of Masters Cup, how many seasons, the first season of NASL was replays, right? So there was some sinkage going on there. Like, okay guys, five, like that was bullshit. And the fact that now we have this, you know, ability to do that is pretty fantastic. Yeah. So I just like loaded up a replay. I've got like two people right here. You can add, I don't know, if there's like a limit. I haven't totally tested it out yet. But then you can just watch the replay like you normally would. There's a couple of really cool things, and this will take us into the next thing we were going to talk about, and that is the training implications. That is the LAN oh fuck, you know, super save button implications that we've got here now in Heart of Storm. So you've got a similar interface than what you had last time. For some reason, this interface seems like it's actually from 2 years ago, but you know, here it is. And you can increase the speed, which I'm guessing will also do it for, you know, the people on the other side. So like I'm sort of, you know, commanding the speed. We don't have the ability to jump yet, which is
how do you create a game with this?
You literally go to replays, and when you select the replays, you do watch with others instead of live.
And you like hug them in, okay, like at the lobby or something.
What? Right. So right.
Okay.
So here's a cool thing that right happens. So okay. So here's a game that we happen to play where.
$10 says DJ Wheat wins this game, by the way. $10.
This was our AHGL match from this past weekend. But no,
win this game?
I won the game. I lost last week's, if you want me to load that one up.
Yeah, funny we're not watching that
it's
week.
Not, it's not. Because it's in Wings of Liberty. That fucking team made us play Wings of Liberty. Okay, so the cool thing about this is like, you know, this guy could have executed this a little bit better. Well, now we've got like... First off, the replay's over. The game crashed. Oh, shit. We can resume from replay. Like, fucking, this is awesome. Every tournament, you know, I mean, this issue is solved. But now this opportunity to me just seems – it's just so fucking amazing that now I can do this. And where did the other guy go? Did the other guy not – he's not in here with me? Oh.
Yeah, he probably left.
Well, that's too bad. So anyway, let's pretend like he's in there. So I select, like, I'm going to take it back over. Groom, I guess he would get taken over. And then you would start the game. It was supposed to not do that and actually, like, start the game. And, okay, anyway, and then you play it out, and this guy, he manages to beat me on it. You know, whatever. We do it a few more times, and that's great. One of the cool things that I feel like would have been something that would have been overseen is that it will then save a new replay of what was just played.
Yeah, how you manage that situation from that point forward and stuff.
So, right. So, but if you wanted to then watch what you had done in another example, it doesn't overwrite that replay or anything like that. It just creates a new one. So
well, I think you're hitting a big, big subject because – I watch all the shows. Climbing the Ladder with Total Biscuit today talked about this. They were very, very high up on it. They think it's like, I mean, I'm not going to put words in their mouth, but what I took from it was they thought it was one of the biggest changes to the way people are going to train in StarCraft II history. Like it was one of the, it was a very large deal. We talked about this on this show a while ago, and you know, the general consensus, and you guys can fix this for me, but I'm going to speak on other people's behalf. At the time, it was Pain User, Greg, and yourself, if I'm remembering correctly. Anyways, you guys thought it was a really big deal because there's going to be a lot of people that are going to enter into specific situations.
Right, exactly.
And then they're going to train from there.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you. I am not playing devil's advocate. I'm actually on the other side of this. I actually think it will not get used that much that way. And I'm not saying this is a bad thing. Of course it's a good thing. Absolutely, the people that take the time to go into games and be like, I feel like if I would have stormed differently, those Broodlords might have died. And then they're going to like do 10 times over again that minute 33 mark where they're going against the Broodlords and trying to storm them differently. But I'm just going to – I really feel like – I don't know. I don't know how to articulate this, but I guess I would just say that I think the organicness of a game is in the decision-making on the fly is where a lot of people will find use in StarCraft II.
Well, I mean, I've played games where I've been like, I should have won that, but I fucked up. I didn't select my investors right. I let them walk into a shitload of fucking Marines, and I'm pissed. Like, I want that moment back. I would – make an effort to find someone to play that spot and let me redo that battle. If anything, because I feel like for me to get any better, that is an opportunity for me to learn. Now, where I kind of agree with you is that What if I wanted to do that same thing five times? You know, let me battle. My infestor control sucks ass. This is a great opportunity for me to just, like, you know, do a practice run on this five times. Does that mean I load up the demo five times? Is there a revert back to, like, I don't see any of that stuff. Is that the future of what this holds? I think that you're somewhat right. I personally feel like I would use this, but at the same token, features could probably be added to make it even better. And I don't want to feel like, here's a feature, now bitch what you don't like about it, because I'm really grateful this is getting put in. But does that make sense, you know? It kind of like goes back to the build order testers, like where you could just like blimp, blimp, reset, reset, reset. Greg, you look like
useful. I think it'll be useful more as like a curiosity, or not a curiosity, almost like vindication. Like you said, that situation where, oh, I messed that up. Let's go back and see if I could have won it, could have, should have, would have. But using it as an actual training tool, I don't feel it saves enough time for those specific situations. Like, if you want to play Infestor Heavy, you can just play Infestor Heavy. Having to go back up and load a replay and find someone to do it with, and find someone who'll do it with it over and over and over, I don't know if it saves enough time. If they did have a reset button, if you could just pop back and replay that battle over and over and over within the game, then maybe. But as is, like Jeff said, I think the key word there was organic. It's just, it's not the actual game. Like, me and Beastie played a game on the Hots ladder, and he was going Turtle Mech, and I was going Roach Hydra. And he moved out, so I went in and killed him with a Roach Hydra drop. And I told him after the game, like, just don't move out against Roach Hydra. There's no time importance there. And so he's like, okay, let's try that replay thingy and go back and see what would happen. So he just stayed in his base, and he knew the drop was coming, and so he just destroyed it. But that's not, like, a legitimate thing. That's not how the game is supposed to go. It's not actual practice. It's just, like, validating that, yes, he made the wrong decision. But he didn't really learn anything from that. So I don't really see it used as a training tool that much.
I'm going to have to step in on this one. Like, I use the Marine Split Challenge map a lot for splitting against Banelings. And I know that's just, like, a one-type scenario, but from that I got much better with the mouse and, like, how to handle it and stuff, and I know that's purely a mechanical thing. But the replay thing, let's say if it gets to, like, a very late game stage scenario where I have Ravens, Ghosts, and all that lark, and I'm against an army, let's say I just got absolutely trounced, and I thought I could use my spells in a better order. I'd love to replay the game from that scenario and then find out which spells and in which amount and in which order would, like, be the best against, like, said army and such. So rather than me playing a game to, like, organically to a 40-minute scenario that barely ever happens, I'd like to know that 40-minute scenario, that if it does happen, I can handle that to the best of my ability. So
I think that's the strongest argument for it, is when people talk about, like, the mega late game where PvP, it's like pure Ghost, pure Viking, a situation that you don't experience before that. Game. I think that's where it becomes more common, but and I see a lot of the comments in the chat, people are like, you're so wrong, and it's foreigners will be worse, Koreans will use it, and I gotta tell you,
Koreans,
like,
will not use that. Foreigners will use it way more, I can tell you after practicing with them. They want to sit on a ladder and write out games.
And now I finally got it working, so at this point I loaded up the same point so people can kind of see it in action.
And people need to understand too that it's all speculation. Like, it's weird to yell at someone that you're wrong and then, like, make a statement about how foreigners are lazy and stuff like that. It's not about laziness. It's the fact that you have to find someone that'll assume the other role. So they have to be that race. They have to be interested in playing from that position and not want to just play a competitive game. Like, because at the end of the day, we're all here because we want to play it competitively. And when you go into those scenarios where you're just simulating a situation very specifically, there's obvious use to that. But it's less interesting and there's less use from it than an organic actual game. So I think Greg said the vindication aspect is very strong. I think the mega late game that Ben's talking about is very apt. I think people will look into that because there is weird situations there. And I'm sure people will use it. There's going to be that pro who's like, you know, I want to thank my mom. I want to thank my team. And I gotta say, tip of the hat to Blizzard. I haven't played a real person in 6 months. I've only been doing it for replays. It's been awesome. Thank you. And then
that'll be TLO.
You know, when I was hearing Greg speak, I was like, you know, I get it. It makes a lot of sense to me, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to me as someone who actually really sucks at the game. You know, like, I know where I have to improve and get better. And, you know, if like control and situational control is one of my, you know, one of my weak points, I could definitely see this as a tool that just didn't exist for Wings of Liberty that I probably would have used more. You know, using the build order testers, certainly one thing. Like the Muslim said, the late game scenarios that I may get to like once in 20 games, I could see that as being, you know, beneficial. In fact, I wonder how much it might encourage people who would never, you know, who would never actually watch replays to maybe watch a replay so then they can re-experience part of it or something to that effect. Like, I am curious to see how much use this actually gets.
I think it would actually be nice for the fans. Like, when you download replays from an MLG or something, and then let's say if you played, like, or you saw, let's go for some Marine Splitting God, like MKP against Nesty, like some epic game or Domregu, and then for the fans to actually download that and play against their other friends and see actually how it goes and stuff, and then you can actually like realize how good some of these pros actually are. I think that's also a cool thing, like to make them to put themselves into the pro gamers positions and stuff.
On a similar vein, I think this is going to be the best street basketball to StarCraft 2 move you've ever fucking seen, where there's going to be some guy out there who's like, well, I want to micro that differently.
Exactly.
And somebody will go, you sir, step into the replay. And then they go into the replay, and the guy's like, well, it's cold outside, and I've got a headache. Also, my dog died. And then they, like, log off and leave. But then they're like, guess he couldn't do it better. You know, like, I would love for that. We're doing – there's a couple times we did a Masters Cup, and somebody got 7 pooled versus, like, 16 hatch, 2 drones before pool. And this guy, Tempest on Team Liquid, I still remember his name. He's from Australia. He went on the forums and goes, I feel like Idra could have microed that a lot better and perhaps drugged the game out and won. And then we cited him for like 6 weeks. It was pretty awesome because we were just like, well, I mean, if Tempest was in this game, it could have gone differently. Like, very rarely does a fan, like, mostly what a fan would say in that situation is like, Greg's shit, YOLO, hashtag no brains about it. Like, and then they just like leave the thread. But this guy actually like said, not going to lie, I could do better than him. I could do better than him. So that's when we drag him in the replay and we go, I guess not.
That'll be awesome the first time it actually happens. Anyway, it's really cool. You could try it out. It's in the HOTS beta right now. Finally, any sort of, I guess, upcoming competitions and stuff will now have the ability to resume. And that's the other thing that we haven't touched on, but it's so important. What, Greg?
Yeah, I was about to say, I think that's worth talking about because it's a lot more complicated than I think people realize, because you have to consider, like, at what point does the tournament say, okay, stop it, we're going to go from the replay, let's reset the servers or routers or whatever the fuck it is, when there's having lag problems and stuff, like what constitutes a game-ending issue, and then go back through that. And also there's a lot of issues, like a lot of the bugs, a lot of the disconnects, a lot of the drops, just if there's an actual software failure, then you don't get a replay saved, so that's still a problem. And then another problem is that if you're actually sitting
there... Do we know that for sure? Like, do we know... because I haven't tried that either. I'd love to hear someone give an analysis on, like, if you just, like, unplug your fucking, you know, your Cat 5 cable, if it will save a replay or something. But, no, I mean, that's a good point. Like, it might not be the Holy Grail yet if it doesn't save that information. I don't know how
that... I just know that sometimes there isn't a replay saved. And then the other thing is, because you sit there and you go through the replay... You have to watch through the replay up until the point where you want to take control. So you have both players sitting there, and how do you prevent them from... I guess you just have to have admins run it through and then have them enter the boosts. But then you still have full map vision, like, of the replay. They can see the mini-map from both sides. So I guess you have to, like, have an admin play through it and limit the vision. And, I don't know, there's just a lot of stuff that has to be worked through to make sure it's a fair system.
That actually is... those are great points. I had not even thought about that. I've just been... My eyes just glazed over by the thought of, like, never again will we be in a 58-minute game and, like, oh, fuck, you know.
You're not as skeptical about me as approving of Blizzard.
That is a great point in that you would have to isolate the players. You only have that 3-second countdown, so you'd almost have to let it go in and then pause it again. And then unpause it when, you know, after the vision has been set. And that's a great... Wait, this guy says that's not a great point. People not fucking seeing the opponent's vision. Wait, no. Let me get this straight, because this is the fucking mentality of these dipshits in here. Let me just make the replay full vision, bad point. Don't fucking get it. Get the fuck out. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. All right. Anyway.
It's just such a good thing. I mean, it's so parting Marine King. Was it Marine King that he was playing?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, that game, like, everyone was looking at that like, well, he's warping in amidst the army. The army's retreating. Ah. But now we can literally go back to, you know, that moment or moments before it and say, replay that. I think it'll be as a terrible aside, I guess. I don't know. It's going to be funny to watch the commentators kill time between that. They're like, well, we're just going to load up the replay here. You know, invite them to the lobby. I don't know. I think it's funny, but probably not everybody else. I'm glad it's here. Boom.
Yes, on the whole, definitely a good thing.
Thank God. It's about time. So we talked a little bit about the Heart of Swarm cinematic. Did you know that it actually had effect on StarCraft II in the Korean gaming ranking, believe it or not? It went up.
Had an effect on my body.
It went up six.
Other things went.
It went up six places, folks, to a whopping 12.
I can't believe it was that
19.
Low.
19. See, I just get the first reaction, second reaction. So, yeah, it wasn't doing so hot, sitting at about 25 at 19, and is number 9 in the Africa TV stream ranking. So that's number a nine. That'd be like the equivalent of going to like the Twitch TV directory, and you know it being number 9, where it's usually up there. It's always League, Dota, and StarCraft
usually
2 that are kind of like fighting, and then it kind of goes out. Right now, it's number 2. But that means, you know, all those other games that are beating it out. So some interest is shown there. Is it enough? Obviously with Pro League going on, there's gotta be some additional, but look at that. A CG movie. I'm telling you, Ultralis crushing siege tanks. It's the way of the future.
It's a great video. A little bit confused about it being there's so many jokes to be made about it being a dream the whole time. Then she like wakes up and she's a prisoner of Terran anyways. In her dream, she's like, yeah, we're kicking ass. And she wakes up, she's like, oh shit, they made me a Terran. Oh God. We'll see.
We will see.
Make more videos. That's what you know what Blizzard should do, by the way? If they see those numbers, they're like, all we have to do is make 3 more videos and we'll be number 1.
Their videos are so good.
Yeah.
For every game they've ever made, they've always had, like, amazing videos.
Yep.
Even Diablo 3. Some great videos
Even Diablo...
wrapped around.
Although putting breaths on Diablo was weird.
What?
Yeah, Diablo was a chick in Diablo 3, man.
Really?
With them boobies. Yeah, you didn't get that far?
I only played the beta.
Ben got that far, like, 9 times. Ben could tell you about it.
Yeah, it was pretty odd.
Were they good boobs?
You know,
that's the thing, man. Diablo's a big monster. Like, it works on Kerrigan because a lot of people look at her and go,
"If I were into infestations,
I could do that."
Is that actually a category? Infestations. It's like, you know, blondes, brunettes, infestations.
Slightly
Kerrigan
buggy.
With the right kind of lighting, you know, and a proper agreement beforehand, it is possible. But Diablo, man, I gotta speak. I mean, there are some weird shit on the internet, but I'm guessing. Nope. I was about to say that I'm guessing there's no, like, fanfic of someone having a sexual relationship with Diablo. But I'm guessing there is. There probably is that. I can just Google
the internet.
Images, yeah.
The chat will find it before the end of
the show.
There's
somebody out there having sex with Diablo. I know it.
Someone. At least one. By the way,
just asked, can I link it in chat? So,
this is relevant to our conversation in that they have a recover game option.
Yeah, I just saw that.
You just see that too? Yeah. So, I'm not sure minutes, seconds works in to show the pause the game, possible input failure. That's kind of interesting. I'm curious to see how all that works. But problems alleviated.
By the way,
Blizzard.
The voice for Kerrigan... And the person she's based on, if anybody didn't know this, is 6 from Battlestar Galactica, the remade one. And
from Wings of Liberty, right?
Yeah, did they change it for Heart of the Swarm?
No. I don't think
Trisha
so.
Helper? No, man. She's still there.
You want to know else? Are you ready to have your mind blown even more?
Do it.
You want to know the ghost? I don't remember his name. In Wings of Liberty, the Jamaican ghost.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that guy. You want to know who he is the voice of? Lee from the Walking Dead game. Tosh, thank you. Yeah, you want to know what else is going to blow your mind? He also is the guy that goes, "The following program is brought to you with limited commercial interruptions by" on Hulu. You hear it every fucking day, like you watch Hulu, like nonstop. Same guy. Blew my fucking mind.
That is crazy.
It is crazy, man.
He does a damn good Jamaican impression, or he hides his Jamaican voice really well.
Same guy. See? Mine's brains everywhere, all over the chat.
I like it that there's still Jamaicans, like, 2,000 years in the future.
I like it that there's still Jamaicans.
Oh. You gotta wait till I get to the end of that, Greg. I'm racist bulletproof, man. You can't find it. Can't find it. As long as you judge my entire sentences.
Iron Squid 2 is this weekend. Filling up another, right? Filling up another, like, not, I can't even say, I want to say venue, but I feel like that doesn't even do it justice. Like, a fucking badass concert hall.
They did an awesome job.
They did. I mean, biggest complaint, probably ZVZ Finals. At least the way it ended up was on the bright side. But that's a small complaint in the grand scheme of things. Did you watch it then, Jeff?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, what I would always say is just a gigantic tip of the hat to the French crowd. They clapped for the players. They clapped for the exciting moments. They were rambunctious. They were into it. They put themselves on the map. And I mean, they did that with Iron Squid 1, but Iron Squid 2 did not disappoint. I like the ingenuity of having a live orchestra. I thought that was a really cool change of pace that nobody has thought up before, and they did that.
Hold on.
Okay.
Before you get flamed excessively, the Riot Season 2 World Championships opened up with an orchestra. And it would probably just save you and to make sure that water needs to be.
That's weird that they do that because their demographic is much more into like Justin Bieber and.
Protecting.
It's actually
you,
a
Jeff.
Miley Cyrus.
I can't wait. On the League of Legends, wait. All right. Yeah. Okay. Just kidding. By the way, for the. I couldn't help it though. A live orchestra for Riot, like. Unless they did Justin Bieber songs with the live orchestra, that'd be kind of.
It was the draft selection music.
The flutes do like "I'll Be Your Boyfriend." That'd be good. Anyways, I thought that was a fresh, nice, new take. Second to the Riot Finals that did it as well. I think one of the tournament's biggest problem is that it had a ZVZ Finals, but you have no control over that at all. That's an amazing situation to be in. It's like, gosh, if only Marine King would have won and we would have had a TVZ Finals. But everything else, I mean, and even as far as ZVZ Finals go, it was really awesome. Except that I want to say, who was it? Who won that again? It was
Life.
Didn't Life win?
Life
won over DRG, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought DRG left early a little bit, I thought, in that last game. But, I mean, I guess he had just, like, nothing back at home, so he felt like he was pretty done. But it was a little bit anticlimactic because it was like, oh, no, there's no way in hell Life can win this. And then Life started to hold it off, and it was like, oh, my God. And then he just left, and they're like, oh, he did it. Whoa. But, you know, that's okay.
Oh, I'm watching one of the plays with Marine King and as he splits a bunch of Banelings.
They did a great job with the analysis, like the different parts, by the way. I liked the analysis couch/studio. I thought that was kind of cool. I think I have all the respect in the world for Todd, but I think Todd will get better at this, but he felt like he might have been a little bit nervous because when they cut to him a couple of times he was not quite as fluid as he normally is. So I think with more experience he'll be better.
Todd's got to be in actually one of the more awkward situations, right? Because he could have probably hopped on the French stream, and I don't know, yeah. Was he on at all? And just totally demolished it. Yeah. But he's obviously been involved with English coverage for so long. Like, I mean, it is. Yeah. You're right. It's something that you just kind of get over. And a venue like that, it'll take the breath out of anyone, man. Like, absolutely. I don't care who you are, dude. When you see that many people getting excited over that, that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. So I hope people don't take that as like me, because like you just said, all the reasons are there for it. I myself have been through that. Like season one of NESL, there's a huge audience relative to what we had experienced before that, and I was a little bit taken aback. So I mean, it happens to even people that are experienced on camera and stuff. So I think Todd will be great, but I just liked how, for the most part, seamless their production was, given that they're kind of their own entity. I know they had a tough time starting, but that's happened to the biggest of leagues before, so we don't really hold that against them. So
I feel like for the quality of the event, like I didn't even watch the finals just because I hadn't followed it all the way through it. I wasn't very hyped up about it. I've heard nothing but positive stuff, and given how good the last one was, I'm sure it was amazing. But for how high quality it is and how much everyone seems to enjoy it, I feel like it's kind of underhyped. Like, I don't feel like there's very much coverage on Team Liquid at all. It wasn't something that anyone I know watched regularly on the lead up to it. And they put on such a good show. I don't really understand why there's not so much publicity around it. It feels like it should be one of the biggest one-off events. It should be like the equivalent of what Aces and all the Assembly stuff used to be.
I think that
I just heard almost nothing.
Go ahead, DeMuslim.
Oh yeah, it definitely should be one of like the premier events. I mean, even the group stages, if you've seen the people in those groups, it's ridiculously hard. Like, it's by far one of the hardest tournaments outside Korea. Like, I couldn't even list that many harder tournaments, but it definitely deserves a lot more credit, and it's really nice to see that European events in general, at least the last couple, like the Polish event and this event, getting sick audiences and crowds and filling up huge stadiums and stuff. Like, it's just really nice to see.
I mean, the qualifiers leading up to it, I think, suffer pretty much from the same things that a lot of the other content suffers from. There's a lot of it, throughout the day. Like, you could probably be tuning into 3-4 different leagues. You know, these are leagues that last weeks and weeks. I certainly like caught quite a few, as Kolaris and Day 9 covered quite a bit leading up to it. It's kind of interesting the way that Iron Squid chooses to do their final events, because they obviously choose venues where you're not necessarily going to have this like as a 2-day venue where you're just going to be rocking out. They certainly put on a show, but that means that then they're limited to the amount of time that they can use. I mean, I would love to see one additional round added to this and it almost be like an NASL style presentation, but that might not gel necessarily with being able to get like a concert hall like that 2 days in a row. So, do you give up sort of the style and the class that Iron Squid has brought now twice the table for a few more games and potentially like a wider array of players? Like, I not to say like that's a criticism against them, but that's the only way I could see them maybe improving. But I wouldn't want them to give up their that class.
Yeah, I think the 1-day full-on hardcore show is like their thing. That's the thing that they did first. And what everyone associates them with, like, they sell out that live venue, they put on a really big show, which is something that no one else really does because of those restraints from the multiple day tournaments. I think it's more important to them to stick to what they're known for and what really sets them apart from other tournaments.
Yeah.
Iron Squid, let's take some phone calls. We're not going to probably go for the duration of the hour, so Goatless, that means you're on notice. Like, keep that in mind. But we'll take some phone calls. You can reach us at 909-581-8519. I put that in the comments as well, or in the chat as well. 8519. Anything we've talked about, also, you can reach me via Skype if you know what it is. And congratulations, you can try to make it in here. But we'll open those for a little bit. And let me make sure that I've got your set on your side. And guys, I think we're now... What was it? I think we're like 45, less than 50 days away from Heart of the Swarm.
Are we? I have no idea.
We are, yes.
Is it that many? It's almost
it's March 12th.
March 12th.
That feels like
maybe
like 45.
42?
45
or 50.
42. 42 sounds right.
Yep. 42.
I got my. You know, Wheat, if there's anything I can tell you on Inside the Game, we don't fuck around with numbers, man. If you're you're saying 50, get out. It's 42.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
we got it for. What
it's like that fucking pop quiz.
Know
last week.
What we're talking about. we got a first caller on the line. Hello, area code 403. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up? You talking to that side of it. Hello?
My pleasure of working. Hello?
Hello? Oh, we couldn't hear you before.
Oh, we can hear him.
Oh, I can hear him.
You hear him?
Oh, there we go. Yeah, him. I'm having some cell phone issues.
There we go. Go ahead.
You guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I just wanted to say I've had the pleasure the last few weeks here of working with In Control on my series, and I just wanted to say how awesome it is that somebody like him, you know, takes the time to throw down with the community and you know, participate with us, and it's really cool. So I wanted to just make it sort of publicly known that he's a total badass.
He's talking about Anatomy of StarCraft or Mechanics of StarCraft. It's that show that's kind of come from the bowels of the Blizzard forums. And
bowels is a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, it applies real science to StarCraft lore. It's kind of cool.
Interesting.
Yeah, we've actually even touched on some of the balance stuff like Roach Maxes and stuff like that. I'm actually a paleontologist by trade, so I know a lot about this stuff going on with competitive anatomy. It's pretty cool. Check it out. But I wanted to, I guess it's free advertisement here, but I wanted to point out that that it's really awesome that In Control does. He talked about it last week on the show. He said, oh, it's really important for us to get in touch with the audience and that kind of stuff, and wanted to make it, you know, very, very well known that he is still doing it, and it's totally awesome.
Awesome. Well, thank you, In Control, and thank you, caller, for your call.
All right.
Take care. A paleontologist by trade. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
He's got a pretty cool life. He was telling me that he might have to, like, and obviously this is not literal, but he has to do something where he has to figure out how like helicopters can fly through a place, and it'll make like half $100,000 in a month.
Wait.
And I was like, wow, you got it real rough. And he's like, yeah.
Real rough in a helicopter. Next caller, area code 682. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh, hi. You know, thanks for letting me come on. I was wondering on your, you know, your thoughts about the recent CODES results.
Well, which results specifically? There's been, like 3 or 4 sets played since last week?
Well, I mean, Parting's one seemed pretty huge, you know, in the latest set. I believe it was Group E.
I'm bringing them up right now. If I could find them. Parting recently got through. I know that we've got, potentially MKP versus MVP coming back up. That one looks like it's coming up. So, yeah, Parting and Lucira is the two that move forward on that group.
Lucira has made a big comeback. I remember, like, he was exceptionally good. He was, like, second only to Nesty for a while, and then he slumped, like he almost fell off the radar, and he's been doing well for like the last few months, so that's kind of surprising. But Creator falling out of Group A a long time ago, that was kind of big. Sniper falling out of Group C was pretty big. But besides that, there's not that many surprises.
I mean, it's amazing that CODES has gotten to the point where it's pretty much you're not going to have a heartbreaking group, where two guys are just going to not, you know, feel good about going and have to go back to the up and downs. And it's, I mean, certainly only going to get harder from this point. If you look at the round of 32, left are Marine King, Roar King, MVP, Soul Key, Noble S, and Nesty, and Tasia, and then Innovation, Stefano, Hack, and DRG.
Exciting group.
No Protoss left in those three groups.
I saw somewhere online that it's possible that none of the round of 8 from last season will make it through to the round of 16.
Really?
Yeah, there's a few of them left, but they might lose their groups, and no one's made it this far or something.
What do you think that says?
That's kind of exciting.
I mean, what does that
say
to you?
Well, it just goes to your comment. It Code S, like, there is not an easy group. They're all insane. Absolutely insane. I thought Sniper was a lock-in to get his group, but then a couple of those Terran players played out of their skin.
Yeah.
And he didn't even make it out. And that's amazing.
Well, he's not getting knocked out, too, and he's been on fire recently.
Yeah, he looks unbeatable.
What was your favorite result and or disappointment out of Codas?
Bomber and Gumiho going through was pretty cool. Gumiho's been good for a while, and Bomber, he can either be really good or really bad, but he went like 4-0 in his group, so that was kind of a nice surprise.
What about you, Caller?
Well, I mean, I was also really happy with Partings when, you know, his advancement into round of 16. I liked him a lot more on Starkiller, so I was a bit confused, you know, when he went and joined Kespa, that with, and Squirtle's leaving of Startail to go join a Kespa team as well. I was a bit confused about why that was the case.
What do you mean about, like, the confusion? What are you confused about exactly?
Well, what was the reason for going? Like, I don't remember. I couldn't find a
Kespa reason. Teams are better and have more money?
And I mean, Startail is pretty much dissolved at this point, I think. Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity. I mean, you gotta keep in mind too that like some of these guys grew up watching Brood War, probably, you know, even going into the GOM, like, although it wasn't really Kespa, they were sort of living that life, and I'm sure for many of these guys is a dream to at least achieve that level of competition. I think it seems like a natural progression. I just am glad it didn't screw up anything. You know, any of the political or internal stuff that goes on over there. So, yeah. All right.
Well, that's because they've only come from Startail thus far. If they came from if someone from IM wanted to head over to a Kespa team, I think we might see a lot more drama. That could actually be kind of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I think the Esports Federation, or whatever they're calling themselves, and Kespa are going to have to clash at some point. And I think Kespa's just going to destroy them unless Blizzard keeps back in GOM. So I think it'll be really fun to see when that happens.
Yeah. Thank you for your call.
All right, thank you.
All right, take another one here. Area code 708. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game.
Mm-hmm.
Give him a sec. All right, thank you, caller, for that insight. Appreciate it. Take another one. Area code 847. Hello, welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
Damn it.
That guy hung up, actually. That guy hung up. Let's take another one. No, he hung up as well.
What did we do?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
Please call us.
Here we go. We're going to take this one. We got David on the line. Hello, David. Welcome to Inside the Game. What's up?
David. Hey, what's up?
Oh, David. Yes, thank you. What's up?
Yes, I'm here. Hey, I was wondering, the Muslim, how are you preparing for the Heart of the Swarm for the upcoming tournament?
I'm still playing a lot of Wings of Liberty as I'm back in England, but I've just been watching Forzane a lot, actually. He's a really, really good player, and he's one of the guys that I watch a lot on Wings of Liberty, so I mix a bit between watching Forzane a lot and playing myself quite a bit. Been streaming a bit too, just trying to get ideas and feedback from people. But yeah, watching and playing are definitely the best two ways to go about it.
Okay, well, man, thank you for the reply, and I can't wait to see you playing Heart of the Swarm.
Thank you.
You're obviously a DeMuslim fan.
I'm a huge DeMuslim fan.
Awesome. Awesome. I am too.
All right. Thank you. Cool.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Wow. Called up. That never happened to the other Terran on the show. Area code 347. Welcome to Inside the Game. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I wanted to ask a question to Idra in Control. Their team recently signed a League of Legends team, and I know they got a chance to do a video with Snoopy, the jungler from that team. What do they think about the guy hanging out around him?
Oh, we said before, he was awesome, a lot of fun to hang out with, just a really cool guy in general.
He was very nice, he was a gentleman, he bought us all a drink. Greg, can I tell that story?
Yeah, you can.
Okay, so they served this drink at the Cosmo, right?
No, at the Chandelier Bar or Club, Bar Bar.
Okay, Chandelier Bar or Club in the Cosmo, and Snoopy is he's a gentleman of sorts, so he bought us all around. And in this drink, it comes with a certain flower that makes your mouth tingly. So we're standing in a circle. He hands us all one. We drank it. I was kind of anxious because I've never done anything like that. So it feels like a warhead in your mouth. It's like, oh, wow, this is kind of weird. But Greg...
didn't feel like a fucking warhead.
Okay. Greg's face gets very serious and he goes, I don't like this. I don't like this at all. And then someone's like, do you have to go throw up? And he goes, yeah. And he walked away. And he came back a few minutes later and said, someone is not going to like the sink in that bathroom.
Okay, there's backstory. I was in China for the BWC, and we all went out to dinner at some little Chinese place on the corner. No one spoke English there. We were just ordering random shit off the menu because we needed food. And one of them, I forget whose fault it was. I think it was probably Juan, ordered like bullfrog leg soup, and it had these little black spices in it. And the soup was good. Like, the meat was good, the broth was good and whatnot. But then a few of us accidentally ate some of the spices, the little black spices. Or I assume it's spice. I have no idea what it was. And it, like, made your whole mouth, like, tingly and numb, and it tasted just absolutely disgusting. And it, like, gave me really low-level food poisoning. Like, I woke up with nightmares. I just felt awful the whole night and whatnot. And upon eating a
What is a Greg nightmare? What is a Greg nightmare?
I don't even know. I was like, it was like the little girl from The Ring was in my hotel room or something. I was going to die. I don't know what else. But anyway, this little flower that comes with a drink felt exactly like that in my mouth. So it just reminded me of all these horrible memories. Plus, it felt really weird. Plus, we had just eaten dinner. So I was done.
GG.
It was not pepper.
So,
is that the
answer
you thought you were going to get, Colin?
Yeah, Snoopy tried to poison Idra, but other than that, he's a good guy.
Yeah. I can respect
not
that.
At all,
we talk shit about his game, so it's just like getting back at us.
Caller, are you...
good luck to all three of you players in Heart of the Swarm.
Are you...
Thank you.
Caller, I got a question for you. Are you like... are you a CLG EU fan now, EG League of Legends fan, or are you just curious about Snoopy?
Yeah, I actually liked EG before that. I don't play StarCraft, but I like watch these three guys. I follow their team.
Nice. So, cool. All right. That's awesome. I mean, I was just curious about someone from League who kind of followed the team and now getting in.
I play League, but like, I like StarCraft, but mainly the EG players.
Wait a second. You can't like both, man. You have to decide right now. Draw a fucking line. No, I'm just kidding. Cool. All right. Thanks, man.
I'm the League team now, so I can like both.
You can. Take care, dude. Take care. Sing another one. You can. Canada's been blowing up the lines. We got area code 519, number personal to my heart. What's up? Welcome to Inside the Game.
Hello. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Hawk getting into Code S, and if he got into a Code A group that was easy for him. What were you guys' thoughts on that?
On Hawk?
Yes, on Hawk.
He's asking if he got lucky to get in Code S. I think at this point in time, anyone that qualifies for Code S is to be respected, and then anyone that loses in Code S, it's to be understood. I mean, we can look at the games that Huck played, and I would join a lot of people, including Huck, in being disappointed in the way he executed. I guarantee you he's not happy. It's not like he tweeted that night, like, I played great. YOLO, bitches. Like, I don't care. And they, like, went on with his day. He was actually very upset. And internally, that matters a lot in EG. You know, there's people that are talking to him, and he's got the pressure of the world on him because he has a gigantic fan base. But I don't think getting dropped from Code S should be anything short of like, oh, damn, there's one less foreigner to root for. Like, Stefano could lose in his group, man. And he's got two Terrans. That's his best matchup. But Innovation's sick, and Hack is weird. He can either be really bad or amazing, like one of the best, easily.
I mean, I thought he played really well. Like, I mean, but I hear like a lot of people, and they're always talking trash, kind of like.
No, he did not play well.
To be fair, he did beat Sniper a game. You know, he did that very well.
I mean, again, no bones about it. And Huck would tell you this too.
No,
he did not play well.
His Code A matches. I mean,
his Code A matches he played great. Yeah. What I told you is, I think that you can't take a Code S qualification. I mean, I took that off the table because it's like, I don't care what group you made it through. I don't care how you played. If you qualify for Code S, you've earned that. Like, that's amazing.
But his gameplay in Codest was not good. It was bad. It was not his night.
Okay.
All right, caller. Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
I have no idea if like what the intention.
I love sometimes it's like
this is the same thing. Whenever Slash was like, okay, man, I got so-and-so for an interview, I'm like, what do you hope to accomplish out of this interview? And he just kind of sits there in silence for like 30 minutes, and then he'll finally like type something. And if he never comes up with something, I'm like, then it's not a good interview. It's kind of the same thing for a caller. It's like, what was the caller hoping to get out of the call?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would have made that one. Let's try this one. We've got Brian on the line. Hello, Brian. Welcome to Inside the Game.
Oh, hey. You guys can hear me?
We can.
All right, I called in earlier and like the phone was just fucking up or something was going on.
Oh, that was you. Oh, that's okay.
But yeah, I was wondering, you guys have been playing Heart of the Swarm, and I was wondering what you guys thought about the balance, because MLG is going to be like Heart of the Swarm, you know? So how are you guys thinking it is so far, like in terms of balance? Like maybe the matchups you get like for the respective races?
Idra, you've kind of been playing the most this week. Do you want to fire at what you think the current state of the game is?
Zerg sucks ass versus late game Protoss. Zerg versus Bio is really, really good. Zerg versus Mech, I'm not sure yet. I feel like it should be overpowered, but Terrans aren't using Widowmines. Like, it should be really good for Mech, but Terrans aren't using Widowmines. Like, they're just not fully comfortable with them yet. And then on the other side, Zergs aren't fully comfortable with Swarm Hosts yet, so maybe that would swing the balance the other way. So that one's still up in the air. But Zerg versus Bio is very powerful, and Widowmines are the only thing that I can see changing that potentially. Then TVP, I don't really know. I've heard it's
well,
not
speak to the
really
Zerg, and Ben can speak to the Terran, and I'll speak
sure,
to the Proto.
Let me ask you a question, Idra, because I know it was something that came up. Has the non-Siege tech changed a lot of the early game TVZ for you?
Almost none at all. The change is nothing compared to the strength of Battle Hillions and Mines.
Okay.
And even Reapers, kind of.
Yeah. All right. Jeff? Do you want to comment on your side?
Yeah, I've been playing quite a bit of HOTS. As far as balance goes, I guess I'm kind of the boring answer because I'd always be like, well, let's give it more time type of thing. Because there's nothing right now that like people are just like – it's not like 5-Rax Reaper right now in the ladder. There's not people running up and down the ladder just laughing their brains out using this one unit that's ridiculous at a certain point of time. There's
yeah,
still kind
I've been
of an experimental
QXC
feel
stream,
to it.
By the way, then.
No, I have not.
No.
Reapers. Okay. He's been using a lot of Reapers.
Yeah.
They like 4-shot probes, but I mean, I'm sure he's using them great. The things that would come close to it, I feel, would be like, and Ben can speak to this, but like the speed of the medevac seems a little bit silly. It looks ridiculous. Like I feel like it should have a cape flapping in the background when it does that, but it looks a little bit silly. Void Rays probably need some attention because they're a little bit too dominant, and I don't think people are quite using them the way that they will be used. Like, I could see the proxy Void Ray attack against Terran coming back that was super strong, but now, like, instantly fully charged Void Rays will just be, like, an instant win against a lot of builds. And, I mean, I guess the Mine would be a kind of a good response to that, but then, like, you throw a Zealot at the Mine, and it blows up a Zealot, then 3 charged Void Rays come in, and you're dead. So I don't know. There's things like that. But overall, I would say I'm really happy with the game. And I think this game will be significantly more playable at release than Wings of Liberty was at its release.
And Demuslim?
Okay, I can talk about like quite a few of the matchups. TVZ is actually pretty hard right now. Like the Burrow thing for Tier 1, that's made a lot of these Roach pushes very hard, considering you usually only have one bunker with 4 Marines in at a time. And if you remember doing that Micro Master challenge, you can actually have 3 Roaches with Burrow beat a full bunker and stuff. And considering that the 9 to 10 Roach rush is still available, but they have Burrow now, and you have to scan to actually kill the Roaches, that's actually causing me huge, huge problems.
Interesting.
But besides that, Fungal being 2 Rage longer, despite being a projectile, that's much better for the static situations and maybe catching Vikings. Blinding Cloud is the big one, though. You can no longer have a big cluster of tanks, which is a good thing. and just have them roll everything. It's Terran are attackable now, especially with the pull spell from the Vipers. Ultralists do better against everything now, including Hellions. So when you go mech, that's better. Pull again in the Blinding Cloud. TVZ, it's not imbalanced by any means, but it's certainly harder. I think the Burrow at Tier 1's kind of strong, actually, because you can deny third bases straight away and Burrowed Banelings early on in these Roach pushes. So that's something that I think needs to get looked at. TVP, on the other hand, that hasn't changed too much from Wings of Liberty, to be honest. I mean...
There's a lot more mech, man.
Yes, and I mean, I've played a few mech games, and it is really, really cool. I'm still primarily playing bio, and the big change is the speed of medevacs, where they speed boost, and then you can drop absolutely everywhere, and kind of cause a lot of problems. One of the biggest changes is all-ins are way more common now for Protoss, be it four gates with mothership cores, or just void ray all-ins are back. Hallucinating a unit and then sending a warp prism to the base while foregating. There's a lot more stuff you have to be careful about now, including like TVT. Widow mines, they kind of make it so you can't really run across the map unless you have scans or ravens and multiple of them. I'm definitely way more careful in HOTS right now. I haven't played it enough to be very, very comfortable with it yet, but there's a lot of stuff right now where I can just get caught out completely off my guard and I'm just dead. But yeah, I'm finding it fun right now. There isn't like a matchup where I'm dreading, right? There's matchups where I think, oh, this is going to be really cool once it gets to this situation and such. And TVP, I tried mech one or two games, and Battle Hellions are really strong in that matchup. I think that's something that also probably needs a bit of a nerf.
Ryan?
I've heard that TVP, if you're willing to just like sit in Super Turtle and go like heavy BCs, you kind of just win. Is that
yeah,
true?
And Ravens are really good now too.
Ryan, did that answer your question?
Yeah. Thanks
awesome.
A lot.
Yeah, no problem. Have a good one.
Thank you, man.
All right, take care. All right. We're going to take, we're probably going to take our final call right here. And then wrap it up. We've got the one, the only Goat Lust here tonight to celebrate 60 episodes of Inside the Game. Hello, sir.
Oh, yeah. Good eye, folks. Give yourselves a pat on the back, eh? 60 episodes. Well
yeah.
done.
Yeah, it's been 60.
It's cool. been 60, believe it or not. I know. It's hard to say.
Yeah, my apologies. Really... My voice is a bit shot to shit.
Yeah.
What happened, man?
This at the moment.
This is what happens when you get hoarse.
Yeah, mate, yeah.
I told you not to use that word on this show, DJ Weed.
Well, that's okay.
It's been a bit of a fucked up week, you know?
Yeah.
Brisbane got hit by another big sort of flooding incident.
Yeah, I saw some pictures out there. Yeah. How'd you fare?
Well, we fared all right because we're in an area that would never get flooded, even if... did like record levels sort of shit, but yeah, we lost power for about 48 hours, so yeah, that was pretty fucking shit, but yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine, dude.
We didn't cop any fucking house damage or anything like some folks did, so I guess we can count ourselves lucky.
Man, I mean, good thing you have those saddled kangaroos that you can get away, you know, from those dangerous torrenting floodwaters. It's good.
Not a fucking laugh was given.
No, you got a question this week. He's like, God damn it, Wheat, this is serious shit. It's like fucking saddled kangaroos, you motherfucker. What do you got for us this week?
Well, you know, I've been feeling a bit crook, you know, I haven't really been in the right frame of mind to get a great question to you guys, so just thought I'd cop out and ask something, you know, pretty general.
That's fine.
So I thought I'd ask you guys what your favorite sort of work of fiction is, you know, just in general.
Interesting question.
Probably books or something.
Very good. I like it.
Okay.
I like it. Change it up a little bit. Go ahead, Greg.
Mine would have to be written older, almost always older, really just good, but good chance mean older, sci-fi. That's what my dad read. It was either that or military history, so I got into the sci-fi part of things, and that's just all I read when I was a little kid. It's actually like how I learned to speak English and stuff.
That's a weird thing to say.
Well, no, I've noticed it's just like, I don't know. I picked up a lot of my vocabulary.
You in a closet and they just fed you books. And that's
I didn't really talk to other people. So, no, I picked up a lot of my vocabulary from it. I've just realized. But, yeah, particularly Heinlein, Hogan. I'm actually reading, like, all of Arthur C. Clarke. I'm just, for some reason, all of Arthur C. Clarke's books right now. But just that old sci-fi. Not the old initial Jules Verne issue Wells. Not that kind of stuff so much, although I've read all of that as well. But, like, I think 50s, 60s. Authors I like tend to be from more that era. But the hard sci-fi.
Fair enough.
The Muslim?
I'm not the most hardcore reader, but right now, my dad is like a massive fantasy guy, and especially like a Tolkien guy, and for Christmas I decided I'm just going to go and get the Lord of the Rings books, so I have a couple of those and I'm reading them. I've read like The Hobbit and stuff, but not the biggest reader. But if I had to pick, it would be fantasy.
My answer is going to be probably more. I mean, that's standard. It's par for the course. I like a few series. I'll name these series as my absolute favorites. I like the Dark Tower series by Stephen King. It's kind of a mix between sci-fi, fantasy. I guess you could argue there's some Western in there, but it's just an absolutely gigantic mind F that is really fun to follow. It's not like Stephen King's other books.
No, it's not.
It's really not. But it's a really cool experience. And if you're out there and you're like, wow, I should check that out, please do, because it's really gratifying. But avoid any explanation of the last book at all costs, because it's one of those endings that you'll either love or hate, but it'll invoke a strong emotion from you. And that's a really fun experience to have from a book, I feel.
Additionally, the first book, like, you have to just get past the first book.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there will be times where it's much slower, but it is totally worth the reward.
It's absolutely insane. So I really like that series, and I like that kind of writing. I very much so do like The Dresden Files by Jim Butcher. I'm going to be a little bit hipster and say I was reading it before Day 9 was.
Oh.
Day 9. Okay, so I've been reading it for a while. They are the male version of Twilight, so like every girl is insanely attractive and head over heels lusting for the main character. So every time you read the book, I mean, if you read a Twilight, it's like, and then Edward pulled off his shirt and his sweat dripped down to his navel, which of course I could imagine my lips wrapped around, and you know, just like just a ridiculous 6-page description every time of a guy. But in Jim Butcher's, it's really funny to see the contrast, because in the Dresden Files, the books are like, and, you know, my brother walked in, and he's just gorgeous. He's really ripped. But then she walked in, and the curvature of her legs was matched only by the robustness of her breasts. And, like, it just goes into this whole thing, so it's really nice that way. But the lore is fun. It's humorous. It's I guess, a fantasy book. I don't know if you'd call it fantasy. It takes place in present-day Chicago, and he's a wizard that solves crimes. But in the later books, he's not a wizard anymore. He's actually master of the universe. And he doesn't just solve crimes, he actually saves the fucking planet every single time a new book comes out. So, like, it's definitely heading towards a place I feel like the series will take a little bit less of an interest for me, but it's really awesome. And then the other series, well, okay. I'm sorry, like I said, it's a really long answer. I read all the Star Wars books, they're awesome. In particular, the Thrawn series, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm actually blanking on the name of the author right now. Timothy Zahn. So, read his books. And then I would say a Game of Thrones or a Song of Ice and Fire, but everybody says that now. And you know what? I'm going to be hipster about it again.
Oh, shit.
Okay, so The Dark Tower, I came on late because apparently there's like a 7-year gap between one of his books. And there's people that waited for that. I'm the guy that waited the fucking 7 years for A Feast for Crows. And my mom picked it up, and, like, you know, first thing I did was get home and read it. And then, just like everybody else, I was disappointed. But I've been reading that for a long time.
Yeah, not kidding.
If we're going to plug series, everyone should read The Black Company. Oh, what's this?
No!
I stopped reading. You know, I was, like, a heavy reader. I liked, like, Believe it or not, I know people are going to think I'm crazy, but I actually, Scientologist aside, I loved L. Ron Hubbard. He wrote some like ridiculously epic novels that at the time I didn't even understand the scope of Scientology, but the books, like, he writes some good science fiction. But I would say probably when I was 16, maybe more like 15, that's when I really, really started getting into comic books. And this is by far my favorite piece of work ever. It is The Walking Dead by Robert Kirkman. And I'll be hipster here, is that I was all over this shit when fucking Tony Moore was drawing it. And then issue 7 came along and fucking Charlie came. And I was like, where the fuck is Tony? But now I'm so glad that Tony is gone. But, like, comics for me, I don't really care what it is. Like, Walking Dead, Why the Last Man, Transmetropolitan, fucking Ex Machina. Like, I mean... there's so much good shit out there, and I love it. So I think that if you've never picked up something like this, like, it's so fucking amazing. Like, it's great. That's my reading. You can put all Scientology aside. I was 13. I didn't know what the fuck Scientology was. I was like, my God, Battlefield Earth is like the fucking most amazing novel I've ever read, and it was. I had no fucking clue. Like, the movie's so fucking bad, dude. The book is amazing. Like, the book is.
I think it's a point in his favor. Like, he obviously came up with one hell of a story if it found in Scientology.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, there you go. There you go. Proof.
He's really good at writing fiction, so.
Proof. So, yeah. What about you, Gutless?
Well, I tell you what, The Silmarillion has got to be just about the best shit out there. I don't think you can hardly top it, but yeah, fucking unreal.
I mean, that's like some really, really deep Tolkien shit, right? Like, really.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've never read it.
You got to read it a couple of times to sort of get a grip on it, like, because it's fucking intense.
Nice. I've never. I have a buddy who like swears by it, but.
Isn't there like a whole gigantic history of Middle Earth written out?
Yeah, it's just
I've never read
everything
any of that.
You can ever imagine. Like, he just created this whole frickin' world, languages, everything, and just kind of went crazy.
Is it a novel or is it like a textbook?
It's like a 12 volume series about the history of Middle Earth, I think.
No. The 12 volume series is a completely different thing, which goes into how we wrote that shit. But The Silmarillion is actually like sort of a continuous narrative sort of history thing, like, in more or less a chronological order of, you know, the history of Middle-earth.
What part of the story does Silmarillion relate, like, where is it set? When?
It starts, like, at the start of creation, when everything gets made by the creator.
It jumps around, too, like, it fills in gaps, right? Does it fill
in? Yeah, at sometimes it will go into, like, this is the history of man, and it'll jump back a little bit or something like that, and yeah.
Good shit. Educate yourself, folks. Read a book. Get a comic.
Yeah.
It's okay, too, man.
It's good stuff.
It is. All right. Goatlust, as always, thank you very much for your call. Have a great one, man.
Thanks a lot, gentlemen.
Be safe. All right. Take care. Let's wrap up. Who wants to give their final thoughts first?
Ben Baker.
I'll go. Well, I'd like to say, first of all, thanks for everybody watching. Thank you to EG and its sponsors, Raid Call, Intel, Monster, Kingston. Really happy with you all. Thank you very much. If any of you want to check out my progress, check out my Twitter, @TheMuslim. Follow me over there. My stream is www.twitch.tv or twitch.tv/TheMuslim. I play a lot of streaming over there. I've done 60 hours this month and we'll probably aim for 60 hours every month. So, yeah, check me out over there. Thank you very much.
You can, well, all the same sponsors as Ben, obviously, because this is the Inside the EG show.
Yep.
And then you can follow me on Twitter @Idrajit, IDRAJIT, and that'll kind of just lead to you to everything about me. The biggest thing is my streaming, twitch.tv/EG_Idra. And I stream almost every day, usually for a good amount of hours every day now. So that's just the best way to get content of me.
Jeff?
Same with the sponsors. Big shout out to them. I know a lot of people are asking questions.
I've actually specifically been asked not to comment on it, but SteelSeries has kind of come out and said that they didn't sign with us, and it's removed from our Facebook. So do my heart a favor, and please don't tweet me that you just picked up a SteelSeries headset, because that's really awesome. And, I mean, it's, you know, keep buying the gear you want to buy, but I guess it just hurts my it makes me feel bad that I can't say more to you when you're like, hey, I just picked up the SteelSeries headset because you said to do that, when they don't sponsor us anymore. And it hurts. I don't know. I'm sorry. As for myself, I'm streaming on Twitch as well, so do check that out. In fact, I'm probably going to stream after the show. Not immediately after. I'm going to have some dinner, but then I'll stream after that. And then follow me on Twitter, EG in Control. Thank you all. Just a big shout out to the entire community, by the way, too, because people have been really, really kind about messaging me in the various different ways. Reddit was actually incredibly kind. I know that there was some mean comments there, but they were immediately downvoted, which is all that you can ever ask for on Reddit. And for the most part, people said really, really nice things about me going through this situation. And I just want you to know that it actually matters a lot. It, on more than one occasion, has made me cry tears of joy and feel a lot better. And when I get really scared or it hurts a lot, I kind of wrap the warm blanket of the love you guys have sent to me, and it feels a lot better. So thank you so much. And I'm excited to be doing more shows. So we'll see you guys next week with Inside the Game. And I love you all.
Excellent. Thank you, gentlemen. I just want to say thanks for tuning in to 60 episodes of Inside the Game. And we will see you next week. Tomorrow night, in addition to having an interview with Oleg, the individual who ran Owned3D, but we're also going to have an interview with Life. And if we don't have an interview with Life, then fuck Slasher. He messed up, and we didn't get the authorization, and he told me to promote something that isn't happening. But if things go well, we are going to have ST Life on the show tomorrow, winner of the Iron Squid 2. So tune in to Live on 3 on Inside the Game. That'll be tomorrow at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in tonight, Inside the Game. We'll see you next time. Peace, bitches. We're out.